Desire your prayers this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, I want to begin in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5, and begin reading in the 15th verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. By the help of the Lord, I want to try to make a strong case for the need of the Holy Spirit and the value that we need to put on that. I know you've heard a lot of messages and teachings on the Holy Spirit. The Lord has laid a very personal, heavy burden upon me, upon my heart. The Holy Spirit, it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then in the last verse we read, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As I understand the need of the Holy Spirit and the value of it, it makes me to know, as the sister mentioned in her prayer, I thank you for the Church of God. I'm thankful for the Church of God, but there is an animating force that must be in the church. There's a energy, if you will, that God has designed for there to be in the church or in the body of Christ. And it is not man's energy, but it's God's energy. And it's a need that Christ said was absolutely necessary, that he would send the Holy Spirit when he went back to heaven to help us in many, many different ways. So the Holy Spirit is of great value to us. The Holy Spirit separates the Church of God from all other churches because it is a spirit of truth. It is a spirit that will only lead each and every individual into all the truth. It's the only way that you and I, and without endeavoring to use human understanding, human reasoning, is the only way that we're going to find God. It's the only way that we're going to understand him and his ways. As he said, be understanding, he said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And it will take the Holy Spirit to do that. Man has a lot of ideas and a lot of things that they believe, that we believe. But folks, there's only one Spirit that gives us complete and full understanding of what God's will and what his purpose is today. With the Holy Spirit indwelling in each and every one of us, we learn how to do things God's way. We learn how to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. With the Holy Spirit at work in each and every heart of every individual, there will be no big I's or big or little U's. There will be, let me be plain here. That includes not just the body, but it includes the ministry of the body of Christ. There will be no exalted ministry. There will be no exalted man or woman. But we will all, if we are filled by the Spirit of God, we will all be submitting ourselves one to another, staying in our place of humility, being in subjection to the Spirit of God, and allowing Him to lead us and to guide us as we live in this world. There will be no, I know there are going to be some offenses. Jesus said it must be, needs be that offenses will come. But folks, I'm convinced today that if God's people are filled with the Spirit of God, this Spirit that comes straight from God Himself and fills up our hearts and works in our lives, there will be fewer and fewer offenses. We will understand because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by this Spirit. We will know how to treat one another. We will know how to conduct ourselves with one another. We will know how to be kind to one another. We will have a love for one another. We will be considerate to one another. We will have a care for one another. If we are filled with the Spirit, no matter who we are, folks, we are to be in submission one to another as we submit ourselves to God. But I'm here to say this morning, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to do it. You and I can't do it. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do it. Sometimes, and I'm wondering this morning if folks have a real understanding how this Spirit works, how it operates, and how we get it. And with that said, I want to look into that. And I ask the Lord to help and open up our understanding here this morning. Paul said to be filled with the Spirit, didn't he? Lord, help us to understand why that is so important and why that is so valuable to the church. I'd like to turn over to the book of Acts. Lord, help me to move fairly slowly here that I can get out the thoughts that He has given me. It says in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and I know we have read this many times, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now I want us to know right here, to notice right here, that there was a unity among God's people that were together here. They were all in one accord. They didn't work independently of one another. They didn't work with their own ideas or with their own thoughts, but they were all in one accord. They were all of one heart, one mind, and one spirit. These were saved people. These people were saved. Now this is the day of Pentecost. And it said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want to read the verses over here in the first chapter. Jesus speaking to the disciples before he was taken up to heaven. It says in first book of Acts, the first chapter and the fourth verse, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Christ told him, The Father is going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus went on to say, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, over here in our reading, in the third verse of the second chapter, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. The cloven tongues, or the fiery tongues, show the spirit of baptism was included on every one of them. Jesus said that you would be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now I want us, help us, Lord, help us to understand something here. To be baptized is a one-time experience. To be baptized is an experience by which one is purified and purged and cleansed with the Holy Ghost. But it goes beyond that. The baptism was a one-time experience for them. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. When we came down to the altar and we sought the Holy Spirit and the Lord gave that to us and we received it, we are baptized with that Spirit. But there is a filling of the Holy Spirit that is continuous. And it goes on and on and on. As you go on to follow the Lord, there is a filling of that Spirit. The day of Pentecost was a baptism. Jesus spoke of it over here. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now the Spirit, the cloven tongues came down. The sound from heaven is a rushing of a mighty wind. The mighty wind is a demonstration of Spirit. Wind is Spirit. It is breath. You and I cannot live here in this world without breath. That, folks, the life of God, or the life of the church, is in the Spirit of God that God gives to mankind in the church. It's a spirit, it's a power, it's a grace, it's a ministry of God's love and God's power to you and I to be able to be filled with the Spirit and have the breath in the church that God desires for there to be in the church. And as I said, it kind of separates us from all others. The wind that is mentioned here, heaven as a rushing of a mighty wind, is the Spirit itself. The Spirit came down. And he says here, at this time, in this reading right here, on the day of Pentecost, I want us to notice that both the baptism and the filling in occurred on the day of Pentecost. They were baptized and they were all, and it said it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, which, like as of fire, and it was a type of a cleansing, a purification, a purging, to take out what? To deal with what? To deal with that old Adamic nature that you and I and mankind was born with, that nature that caused us to go out and sin and do wrong in the first place, to tell the first lie, to take the cookie out of the cookie jar. Folks, God has a plan. It's a perfect plan. It's entire. It wants nothing, folks. It is complete in every one of God's people that have been baptized by this fire that came down from heaven. There's a need for it today. There's a real need for it today. First of all, folks, I believe there's a real need for people to see and understand how important and how valuable this is to you and I today. Jesus said, "It is expedient that I send the Comforter." He did not leave you and I defenseless. When he went back to heaven, God sent the Comforter, folks, on the day of Pentecost. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and it was a new experience for them, and it was a time when the Spirit of God came down and filled them, and it was a continuing work within them. And I've got scriptures that we want to read. It was a continuing work in every one of them that God could bless and propagate the church through men and women as he saw fit. Folks, we have some power today, and I don't want us to live beneath that privilege. The enemy, I believe the enemy is taking advantage of us in a lot of different ways because we are not exercising the power and authority. Maybe it's because we really don't understand what God has really done for us. But folks, I want to tell you, the enemy is no match for the power of God. And he's no match for God's people that are filled with the Spirit. He's no match. He pushed us around long enough. I'm tired of the devil pushing us around. It's time for you and I to take charge of what God has given us. It's time for you and I to realize the power that we have to resist the enemy, to rebuke the enemy. Remember over there when the seven sons of Sceva saw what the apostles did? They tried to rebuke the devil too. And he says, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you, saints? We have that power of Jesus and Paul today. And we can put the devil on the run if we'll exercise that authority against the enemy of our souls. Jesus said here, we'll be baptized. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you have been baptized. Let's look. I want to fill this in right here with this 11th chapter of Acts. In the 15th verse. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk more about that by the help of the Lord. God's Spirit fell on all of them. But in the first chapter that we read over in Ephesians 5 and 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Folks, there is a filling that God gives you and I and sends with you and I as we go on and seek the Lord, as we endeavor to understand his ways and his purpose in our hearts and in our lives. It will take the Holy Spirit for you and I to measure to that every step of the way. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do that. It fell on all of them. And it says, he said, be filled. So the filling of the Spirit is commanded by the Scriptures. It's commanded that we be filled. You say, well, they were filled then. Yes, but Scripture teaches us that it's a continual thing. Baptism happens when you've been baptized, just like when you've been water baptism. It happens one time. You don't go do it every day, do you? The water baptism is a show to the world, and whoever around to witness that you have laid down that old life and it's all washed away and you're coming out of that watery grave in a newness because the Lord saved your soul. It's a one-time thing. The filling is an ongoing process. It continuously occurring. He said, keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. The filling of the Spirit is the controlling influence of the Spirit of God within the believer. When he continues to fill us, it is the controlling influence. It is what makes you want to do right. It's what gives you the authority and the power to do what is right. It makes us transparent. It takes away all of excuses. It takes away anything that we can try to conjure up to make an excuse for our mistakes or our faults. Yes, we're human and we're going to make mistakes, but folks, I believe they'll become less and less as we begin to walk in the Spirit. As we begin to be filled with the Spirit, it is the controlling influence of each of the Spirit of God within each and every one of us. Let's look at the fourth chapter. I want to get ahead of myself. Fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Read the first, or the eighth verse. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, wasn't he? Now, look at the 31st verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. That isn't when the Holy Ghost first appeared to them. They were all filled on the day of Pentecost, the day of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the filling of the Spirit began to work in each and every one of these folks. But it says here, and they had prayed, and the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Lord, help us today to have some boldness. Help us to take advantage, if you will, of the blessings and the power that God has given us. Jesus told the disciples, you will receive power. It isn't power over my neighbor next door. It isn't power over another man, folks, but it's power of the enemy. It's power that the church can go forward triumphant in all of its glory, in all of its redemption, being filled with the Spirit from day to day, growing and acknowledging the things that God has given you and I in our hearts, putting them in place in our lives. And we become more filled with the Spirit of God working in each and every one of us. Paul, you know the scripture well probably in Ephesians 3 and 19. He tells us, be filled what? With all the fullness of God. He's not talking to the sinners, folks. He's talking to the church. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Folks, there are depths, there are heights, there are, he talked about the breadth and the length and the height and all those things over there in this same chapter. There's places, there's things of God that we haven't attained yet. But as we walk in the fullness and all of our understanding, all the light that he shines on our pathway, folks, if we don't walk in the light that he gives us today, we'll not be able to receive the light that he has for us down the road. It's a growing process. It's a learning process for every one of us. I didn't know what I feel the Lord has revealed to me today. I didn't know that on my walk with the Lord. We didn't know these things. They just didn't fall in our laps. They didn't just happen overnight. It's a growing process from being babes in Christ to growing where we have some strength and some power that we can fight the good fight of faith. Folks, we are in a fight. We are in a battle. Through being filled with the Spirit, it brings you and I into a relationship with God and makes us a part of God's people. It makes us a part of God's church when we are filled with His Spirit. You can't get there any other way. You can't be a part of this in any other way without the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that He gave to them on the day of Pentecost. The filling is a continuous experience whereby the Spirit who already indwells in us helps you and I to keep a control over our lives. It's the controlling factor for every one of us. It's the controlling grace or the controlling power. Folks, when we face the adversities of this world, when sin and iniquity are abounding every day, the only way that you and I can stand, when the world makes its appeal to you and I, and things look so good to the flesh, and things are drawing people away, it will only be the influencing power of being filled with the Spirit of God to help us to be able to stand right here in these last days. Because we are living in the last days. I believe that more and more as I see time going by and as I see things happening. It helps the Spirit keeps control over our lives if we let him. He said for us, be filled. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to go to this fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And I want to bring it, this is speaking here of the early church. But I want us to think about us today. The early church, folks, they've been in their graves for a long time. They've been gone for a long time. This is our day. This is our time. But I believe that the same thing that God gave the early church here is for you and I today. It's for you and I today. But are we using it right? Are we doing this thing right? I'd like to look at the 13th chapter. We'll do some reading here. Now when they saw the boldness in Peter and John. Peter and John, this was right after they had just walked by the impotent man there, the man that was lame, and he looked on him for alms, and Peter looked at him and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Saints, don't cut yourself short. Don't cut what God has given you short. We've got something to give to others. If we'll learn how to let our light shine. If we'll understand. We don't have to be browbeaten by the enemy. We don't have to go around with our heads hanging down. Folks, Jesus told the disciples, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. Here is a key this morning. God has given us some power. We don't have to go around letting the enemy take advantage of us. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can be more than conquerors. So it said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the secret, isn't it? That's the secret. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through right now in your life, the secret to your success, the secret to your victory, folks, that is to be with Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the problem, not on the affliction, whatever it is that you're dealing, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because these folks noticed that these people, they weren't real, they didn't understand a lot of the letter, maybe they weren't lawyers or things like that, they weren't scribes, but folks, it said that they saw that they had been with Jesus. They could tell that. When we're filled and filling up, you know, you drive your car, you can fill it up with gas and you can drive it a few hundred miles, you gotta fill it up again. You gotta fill it up again. We gotta go to the well, folks. We gotta continuously go to the well and get filled, be filled with the Spirit. We've got to get the graces on hand. We got to get the courage and the boldness that we need to stand firm and faithful in these days that you and I are living in. I didn't say much Wednesday night, but I had a question on my mind. And I believe I'll ask that question right now. How much confidence do you have in your experience with the Lord? How much confidence you got in it? You got enough confidence that you know in your heart that when the hard thing comes, you're going to stand true. You know that? I mean, you know, there's a brother that was mentioned in prayer service this morning. Another brother that I've spent over 2 weeks with here recently. That are going through some hard, difficult places. Do you have confidence in your experience? Do you know what you're going to do? Do you understand the power of the Holy Spirit being filled that God said His grace was sufficient, whatever it is? It's not qualified in any way, folks. His grace is sufficient to those that are filled with the Spirit of God. His grace will bring us through. I've often told this congregation, I don't know what I would do when the going gets tough, but I know what the grace of God can do because I've seen it. And I've experienced it in my own life. You got confidence in your relationship? You know what you'll do? Or do you have in the back of your mind that you've always got an out? If this don't work, I'll just do this or I'll do that. Or I'll trust in flesh. Or I'll just go back to the world. I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too tough. People are thinking those things today. We don't have to think those things. Not if we have on board. Not if we are filled and being filled every day. Why did Paul say, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace? Why did he say that? That we might obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need. What you've got on hand, it's wonderful if it'll bring you through this day. But what you may have to face tomorrow, you've got to go to the throne and you've got to be filled with a little more of the power and the Spirit of God working in your heart and life. You can't sit back and rest on your lees, saints. This thing's not going to just fall in your lap. You, if you love the Lord today and you want to live for Him, you're going to have to put something into this. If you want to go to heaven, the devil is wanting just as much to try to take your soul to hell. And if you want to go to heaven, you better put everything you've got into it. If you're careless about it, if you're indifferent about it, and you don't understand the urgency that eternity is right around the corner for every one of us, you better put everything you got into it to be filled with the Spirit of God. Beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Can I say right here, the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples over there in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he gave. And he told them in that commission, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the disciples did that and they recovered. Have we lost that today? Is our faith not what it ought to be? Is it because we don't have the connection we ought to have? Is it because we're just relying on what happened the day that I went to the altar to be baptized of the Holy Spirit? But folks, are we being filled continuously, day to day, that we can have that power? I'm not saying that I have any kind of gift that I can lay hands on those and they will recover. But I can say this, that I prayed for folks many times and they have been healed. And it wasn't me, folks, but it's the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God working. See, these men, they noticed that they weren't learned men, but they'd been with Jesus. They had some power. I don't have any gold. I don't have any silver. But what I've got, I'll give to you. Is what we got on hand worth anything to anybody else? Can we give them something that's worth it to them? Folks, I'll tell you what. You know this. You take a man that's got $1 million in his hand. And he's got cancer. Or his heart is giving out on him and he knows he's dying. Will he give you that $1 million for his health? For his life? I say he will. Life is precious, folks. Life is precious. You and I have something to give to these folks. It isn't money, but it's Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Not that it will benefit, not to lift us up, but it will glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's what we want to do. We want to glorify Him. And they said here in the 16th verse, what are we going to do to these men? That indeed is a notable miracle has been done. I read that, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. They speak henceforth to no man in his name. Do you know, I'm pretty much convinced. I can't say that I know it for a fact, but I think there's some folks that are probably among us. You just threaten them and they'll back off. Just threaten them a little bit. They'll back off. These brethren didn't back off, folks. They kept a rod on it going. Why? Because they were filled with something. They were filled with something that gave them holy boldness, gave them holy courage, and gave them grace to go forward. And they said they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them right to the face, and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You say, well, and you know, I've dwelled on this many times. Well, these are the last days. Maybe things just can't be that way. Because these are the last days. Maybe God has withdrawn himself so much that, folks, I don't read anywhere in the Word of God where he's taken any of his power away from his people. I don't read that. I can see where he's withdrawing himself because of the sin that's in the world today. His presence is not what it used to be, but I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where he's taken any power away from his people. It's a continuous filling to be filled with the Spirit of God. We cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further threatened him, the first threatening didn't do any good because he's still boldly saying, we're going to listen to God. They further threatened them, they let him go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old whom this miracle healing was showed. And being let go, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now the report comes in. They're going to the church. They're telling the church what happened. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They were still in unity. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ. Folks, I probably shouldn't assume. But I'm going to remind us this morning, the devil's gathered his forces. The devil has his army, and he's gathered his forces. And he's coming against truth greater today than he ever has before. Paganism, Catholicism, and Protestantism, all on the scene at one time. And the enemy has gathered his forces to come against who? The church. But God's gathered his forces too. And he's given us something from the throne, from God himself, and that's power. That power is to bring anointing upon your life. Anointing upon your life. Anointing is God's approval for the way that you're living, how you are conducting yourselves. That's what anointing is. Anointing is favor and approval of God upon our lives. The battle's raging today. The enemy is fighting hard. Can we afford? We say we're God's people. Can we afford to lay down and just let him roll over us? He will, you know. He will, you know. He's unmerciful. He is relentless I've seen it down through the years, and you have too. He's relentless. When he gets someone down and discouraged, he doesn't stop there. He wants to destroy every one of us. And I thank God that Jesus Christ came to stand in the gap for you and me. He stood in the gap for us, folks. Let's don't let him down. Let's don't let the Lord down. Lord, help us to be faithful in these days that we live in. Verse 27, of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. I mean, they're pouring it right back here. They're telling them who's at fault here. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Is it going to take boldness to stand up in this day and age and continue to tell people that this alternate lifestyle they talk about is an abomination? Is it going to take boldness? I've already asked someone in this congregation, will you come and visit me if they put me in prison? Folks, we got to stand by the truth. We've got to be faithful. But in order to do that, I want us to understand, you've got to be filled. A continual filling of the Spirit of God that will give you grace every day for whatever it is you face. Remember when the Lord told the disciples, when they bring you up before the magistrates, don't plan in your mind what you're going to say. Who did he say would tell you what to say? The Holy Spirit will tell you what to tell them. And that's what's happening right here. That's what Peter and John did when they were standing before. But now they're with the people and they're praying here. In verse 30, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They didn't back off, folks. But they got together because they were in unity. They were in one accord. I've been in circumstances in the last few years where I could see that there wasn't one accord. I could see there wasn't unity like there ought to be. And I can see also the devil taking advantage of us because of it. These folks were in one accord. And it says, by the name of thy holy child Jesus, and I read this one, but I want to read it again, verse 31. See, notice, before I read that again, notice that in their praying, they begin to glorify God but by lifting him up. Talking about how he had made the land and the sea and everything that is therein. They begin to lift him up. They begin to glorify God. By stretching forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done. But folks, persevering prayer will prevail. Remember that. Persevering prayer will prevail. That means I don't pray just one time. It means that I don't pray just 5 or 10 minutes, but persevering, pressing our way into the presence of God, being filled with the Spirit of God. God has to do something for us because his word tells us that he will. If we'll persevere into the face of God, folks, he will do something for his people. He always has and he always will. But we're lazy today. We're lazy. We don't stay there. We don't persevere. We're not even like that woman that went to the unjust judge and kept wearing him because she was wearing him out. He gave her what she wanted. Folks, that's what we need to do with God. That's what he wants us to do. That's what these folks did in the early church. But I don't see that happening today, do you? I guess if you thought human thoughts, you'd say, why in the world is he getting so been out of shape with such a few people here. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm tired of the devil taking advantage of us. I'm tired of taking the crumbs. That Syrophoenician woman, she said, the dogs eat the crumb. Folks, we're not the dogs. We're the called. We're the chosen. We're a chosen generation. We're kings and priests. We need to claim what God has given for us. We need to claim that. The violence got to take it by force, folks. We got to take this thing. Because the enemy's not going to back up. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't get tired. I can speak for myself. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm tired most of the time. But folks, I cannot let down for the sake of my soul. I can't let down. I can't relax for my soul. I've got to be on my guard. But Jesus, God, gave us something. Jesus said He'd send Him. And He did. And it happened there. We read all of that. The baptism happened that day. If you were sanctified, you got baptized by the Holy Spirit. But the filling is continuous. Hope we understand that. It's continuous. It's something we seek for. We seek after. It's something we desire, that we want every day, to have more of the presence of God. I remember Brother Mark, I heard him pray it many times. Fill me with a greater portion of your Spirit in a greater measure and in a greater way. I told someone one time among us what Brother Mark's prayer was, and they said, once you've got the Spirit, you don't get a greater portion in a greater measure. That shows me the understanding that people have about the Spirit of God. Because you can pray for a greater filling and a greater portion of the Spirit of God, and we should be praying for it. Just like Brother Mark did. You talk about a man that was unlearned and didn't know his letters. Folks, he crucified the English language, but he preached for many, many years, and God blessed him and God anointed him because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Those of us that knew him, we witnessed that. We witnessed it in his life. I was there the night he went through the altar. Man didn't know anything about living for God. But God led him along and began to fill him day by day. And the man had power with God. The man was anointed and had his blessings on him. Don't you want that? Don't we want that today? You don't have to be a preacher to get those things, folks. It's forever. They were all filled. They were all baptized. It's for every one of us, not just the preachers. For every one of us. And it said here, oh Lord, help me. And when they'd prayed, they prayed. Evidently they reached the throne, didn't they? The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now wait a minute. They were filled on the day of Pentecost. They got another filling here today. They got another filling. Because of their pressing into the presence of God. Because of their persevering prayers. Intercessory prayers. For the church. For the church. Sometimes, folks, I don't mean to be hard here, but we get so busy praying for all the little problems that we got, we forget that there's a greater need. And a greater burden. And it's for God's church to be profitable and prosperous in these last days. You and I are responsible for that. You and I are responsible for that. We make a testimony. We're a child of God. We're responsible for it. The place, when they had prayed, was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like, there's so many people that just love to go to Monarch every year. Folks, I might love it too. If I would see us as a people getting down before God, pressing ourselves into His presence, I would love it too if that old tabernacle would begin to shake and the Spirit of God would come down and fill God's people with a greater anointing and a greater power that we could leave that place and go out into this world and do the will of God. Be the vessels that would honor Him and please Him. I love that. There's no other place that I'd rather be than in the presence of God at a time like that. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But I don't see it. I don't see it. I see the same old thing year after year. I'm not trying to be critical. You can say about me what you want, but I know what I see. I know what I discern too. I know what's there. I want to say something else about Monarch right here. It's becoming a place where people gather to socialize, to see one another, instead of being earnest and sincere about their souls. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm not the only one that sees that. That's not what it was meant for. That's not what the old timers went there for. That's not what the ones that stayed under those old hot tents, and I've been under them. Them old hot tents and the sawdust all over the floor and the water coming down through the middle of your tent when you're sleeping at night because of the rain. That's not what those people were there for. They weren't there to socialize. They were there to pray down the power and the Spirit of God in their lives. We're losing it, aren't we? Say, I almost feel like, well, Brother Larry, you're just wasting your breath because we lost it. I hate to think we're losing it. I hate to think we've lost it. But it comes right down to the responsibility of each and every one of us individually. You can only do what you can do. You do your part, God will bless it. But it'll take the body as a whole, won't it, to come together. The place was shaken where they were assembled. I know of one other time in the Word of God where it talks about the mantle of the doorposts were shaken. Remember that? 6th chapter of Isaiah, when the seraphims came down and said, holy, holy, holy. He's still a holy God, folks. Sometimes I wonder when we come into His presence, just how holy. Do we realize how holy He is? Do we realize what we're doing? Well, I know one thing, myself included, we're going to meet Him someday. We're going to stand before this holy God, and then eternity for every one of us. The whole body of believers experienced a renewal of the controlling influence of the Spirit of God. That's what they experienced here. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Oh, I tell you, that must have been wonderful. Great grace. Great grace was upon them all. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I'd have loved to have been there. I'd have loved to experience that. Sometimes I wonder, can I really experience all that in this old body? Or will it take a glorified body? It's what it's going to take to experience heaven. Is a glorified body. But folks, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Because why? The presence of God came down. And it says they were all filled again. Some more filling here. They prayed it down. They prayed it down and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it says here. And they spake the word of God with boldness. May God have mercy on us all today. I think this is so important and so valuable to us. I want to leave you with a scripture. over in Zechariah. We can quote it. You could probably quote it too. But let's read it. Zechariah, 4th chapter, 6th verse. Let me read the 5th verse. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and he spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We're not going to get it any other way, folks. It isn't going to come from any strength that we have, any might that we have, any wisdom, any intellect. It isn't going to come from that. But he said, No, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. We must be filled, folks, with God's own life within us. His character and his virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, if I can just say it that way. We got to be filled with that. If we want these kind of results today, I know people read that and say, ah, that was the early church, that was back then. Once again, I say, I don't see where God took that away from us. But I see what our lifestyles have taken away from us. I see what the world has taken away from us. I see where our desires has taken us. I see where our affections has taken us. I see that. But I still believe that this is for us. I still believe it's for God's people. When we are filled and being filled every day with the Spirit of God, He controls our thoughts. Didn't it say bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ? He controls our thoughts. He controls our attitudes. He controls our actions. Yeah, we can do better, saints. I put me in there. I said we. We can do better. We can do better. We need God's anointing. We need His favor. We need His approval upon us. But it's going to take evidently a little more than what we've been doing as a people, in order to receive it. You know what Romans 8:28 says? Y'all know what that says, don't you? Do you know what Romans 8:29 says? Till we all be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's what Romans 8:29 says. Lord, help us to have a desire. Have the wherewithal. To have something burning within us. The scripture, the writer over in the psalmist says, when I was musing, the fire burned. My heart was hot within me. How many was the last time that happened? When's the last time that happened? I've heard some testimonies right here in this place where that has happened. And I thank God for it. When I was musing, it wasn't musing on the things of the world, folks. It was musing on the things of God. The fire began to burn. How's our fire today? Does it need to be kindled? Is it just down to a little bit of embers and ashes? Or does it need to be stoked? We need the Holy Spirit. I hope that some way, somehow, that something we've said today would help us to understand the definite need of a greater filling of the Spirit of God. A greater need of His working among us. And I'm going to make an apology here if I sounded harsh or hard in any way. It was only from the burden that God had laid on my soul. Because I do not have a right and I will not be harsh to God's people. Sometimes the burden is so heavy that it may seem like it comes across that way. But I don't mean it harshly in any way. I love every one of you. I love God's people. I love God's church. And I want to see it prosper. Even in these last days of time, I believe it still can, but it's going to depend on us, isn't it? It's going to depend on you and I if the church of God is going to go forth with the power and the glory that God has designed it to have and designed it to be. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Thank you for your time and attention.